You may be seated. If you would, turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Turn to Mark chapter 4 and hold your place there. And I'm going to come back to it. But my subject tonight is the fasting edge. And I want to deal with a spiritual principle that Jesus gives in the parable that's found in Mark chapter 4. As you read it in other places, Jesus said, if you can understand this one parable about the sower of the seed, then you can understand all the parables. So if you can understand the principle that Jesus is giving in this parable in Mark chapter 4, you'll be able to understand spiritual principles that drive the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Now, Sunday, I preached a sermon on the rewards of God. And there are three things that we found in Matthew chapter 6. It was Jesus' Sermon on the Mount that give us specific direction as what we are to do as a child of God. Now, God is a rewarder. And Jesus said, when we give, when we pray, and when we fast, the Father which seeth in secret, he will reward us openly. What does it mean to be rewarded openly? It means that others will see God's blessings upon your life. They'll see that you're different, that you stand out, that is something in your life that causes you to have peace in the storm, joy in the midst of sorrow, and in an economic downturn, that God supplies all your need. So giving, praying, and fasting, there are three things that Jesus expects his church to do. Jesus said, when you give, when you pray, when you fast, not if you give or if you pray or if you fast. So he made it clear that fasting, like giving and praying, they are a normal part of the Christian life. Fasting is a choice. And whenever a Christian chooses to begin a spiritual fast for one day or for several days, that person has made a choice to draw closer to God. What we do, we are crucifying the flesh and we are building up the spirit man. I made that choice over 38 years ago, and as I said Sunday, I cannot begin to explain the power and the anointing that it has brought into my life. I'm convinced that fasting is the gateway through which we walk, where God releases his supernatural, miracle-working power into our lives. Now, we will begin a 21-day fast of prayer and fasting this Sunday, January 10th. Now, in the parable I'm going to read, there is a principle in Mark chapter 4 that parallels the giving, the praying, and the fasting that I preached on Sunday. This principle has to deal with a 30-fold return, a 60-fold return, and a 100-fold return that is attached to God's word. Now, you won't get this through a cursive reading, but if you'll listen to what I have to say tonight, because I'm going to read the parable that Jesus gave of the sower in Mark chapter 4, and he said in another place, if you can understand the parable of the sower, you can understand all of the parables, which means you will understand the hidden things that are in the word of God. Mark chapter 4, verse 14. Listen to this. This is Jesus. The sower soweth the word. I'm a sower. That's what I love to do, sow the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Verse 16. And these are they likewise that are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately they receive it with gladness, and having no root in themselves, so they endure for a while, but after a time, when affliction and persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Things just didn't go the way they thought they would go, and they get offended. And unfortunately, some people get offended with God. Look at verse 18. And these are they, Jesus said, which are sown among the thorns, as hear the word. And a lot of people are right here. That's why you need to fast and pray. You got to get your edge back. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Wow. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the words, receive it. It brings forth some 30-fold. Look at this. Some 60 and some 100. Jesus said, now, if you can understand the principle that I'm teaching tonight, then you will be able to understand the parables, the hidden things of God, and you'll be able to get an in-depth insight into the Word of God. Jesus said, when you give, when you pray, when you fast. I believe that all three of these disciplines, giving, praying, and fasting, are working together. And you create an atmosphere when you work all three of those together for the complete power of God to be released into your life. And I just made a powerful statement. If you get these three disciplines, giving, praying, and fasting, working together in your life, then you have prepared yourself to receive the completeness of God's release into your life. It's just like the lesson that Jesus taught in our text. The same principle of praying releases a 30-fold return. Praying and giving releases a 60-fold return. Praying, giving, and fasting releases a 100-fold supernatural return. And I'm going to show you this principle throughout the Word of God. My subject tonight, the fasting edge. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. It's like Jeremiah said, that words were found and I did eat them. And the Word brings joy and rejoicing, Lord, because we know that you watch over your Word to perform it. And, Lord, we know sometimes that when we don't understand it, you're working to our good, because as a law, Romans 8:28 says, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Lord, we're here tonight to worship you. We're here tonight to hear from your Word and from the Spirit. Give us that listening ear. And the church said, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, I preached on the rewards of God last Sunday. When you give, when you pray, and when you fast, God rewards us openly. And we saw from the Word of God how we can defeat our enemies through prayer and fasting. We should understand giving here at this church. And like I said, I think we do. We do seed time, harvest time every Sunday. Now, we're on the enemy's turf, and you've got to know that. And when the battle hits, the Bible tells us we must be suited up and ready for battle. We know from the Word of God that there is a yoke-breaking anointing, but there's an even greater anointing. It's called the yoke-destroying anointing. The anointing breaks the yoke, but then there's an anointing that destroys the yoke. If I break that arm, you can put it back together, and I can still use it. Matter of fact, I broke that left one, two bone, pow-pow. And a lady thought, she said, she looked at my arm. She said, how can you stand that? She said, I'm about to pass out. And it was my arm that was broken, not hers, you know. But I still have good use of that arm. I had to really exercise it because I'm right-handed, and that's my left arm. But that arm was broken. It wasn't destroyed. So that is an anointing. I want you to remember this. That's an anointing that breaks the yoke, and there's an anointing that destroys the yoke. So the anointing literally breaks the yoke of bondage off of your life, and then God destroys that yoke. We call it sanctification. Hallelujah. Call it what you want to, but it is a yoke-destroying anointing. And when he destroys that yoke off of your life, then he will use you to break the yoke of bondage off of others who are around you. That's why there are the two anointings. One is for you, where God breaks that yoke, and then he gives you a yoke-destroying anointing where you can break it off of other people and teach them how to have a yoke-destroying anointing. Now, when I was first saved, and I shared this Sunday, no one told me to fast, and no one taught me to fast. I just knew after reading my Bible that there are some mountains that can only be moved through prayer and fasting. Jesus said there, some battles you will never win, some victories except through prayer and fasting. So I started a lifestyle of prayer and fasting, and I noticed that as I gave myself to the seasons of seeking God through prayer and fasting, that his anointing became stronger and stronger upon my life. And I noticed that as I prayed and fasted, after I would give myself to seasons of that, when I would step forward to minister, there was so much more power in my prayers, and they were so much more effective. So I began to seek God and prayerfully study and memorize the Word of God, and God began to show me how to win the battles of life. But then the enemy, he kept trying to pull me back. I tell you, I fought 1,000 devils. He kept trying to pull me back, but I had had such an experience with God. I said, no, I will never go back. I'm in the press. I'm pressing on. I'm going to learn, and I'm going to get victory. But he kept trying to get me to compromise God's word and God's standard of holiness. But I knew what God had done for me, and I knew that I was free, and I knew that the only way that I could stay free was to seek God. And God was gracious to me. He saved me, and he sanctified me, and he filled me with the Holy Ghost and taught me all kinds of things. But I'm a military man, and God used my military training to teach me how to fight against the wiles of the devil and how to render him helpless in Jesus' name. He showed me the weapons of my warfare. He taught me to be suited up and prayed up at all times, and to be clothed in the whole anointing of God. See, you cannot take your armor off for one moment. That's another sermon. Put on the whole armor of God and keep it on. Don't compromise anything. The Bible says give no place to the devil. So stay battle ready at all times. Well, I learned that prayer, fasting, and giving, and reading, and memorizing the Word of God, that every one of those things, they go hand in hand. And then God carried me back to combat in Vietnam. He reminded me of that Western Wall that we had at our compound in Vietnam and how we had fortified that area. It was called a Berm Wall. It was 360 degrees all around that compound. We had a huge wall. It was to keep the enemy out and to keep snipers from being able to shoot in from the tree lines to where you were. You know, they'd have way off in the mountains. They would have to have a pretty powerful scope, but they used mortars for that. They couldn't get to us with the small arms fire. Well, that area was cleared for thousands of yards all around that comet, except for one area where you could see a tree line about 200 yards out. And that tree line there was the area where we always would experience most of the enemy activity. They couldn't be seen. But unknown to the enemy, that area of our compound at that tree line, it was not our weakest area. It was our strongest area. We had fortified it with extra machine gun bunkers. We had barbed wire there. We had claymore mines. We had flares that would flare up into the night if somebody hit at Constantina wire. We had 105 artillery. We had 155 howitzers. And behind that, we had tanks. We had extra machine gun next. I mean, that place was not our weakest point. It was our strongest point, and it was the most fortified area of our compound. Well, why am I telling you all of this? Because God told me, he said, take my word, and I want you to fortify the areas of your life where you have been weak, and I will make those your strongest areas. I was just very honest with God. I said, God, I got this problem. I got this problem. I got this problem. And I didn't try to hold back anything. I said, God, I got problems, and I need help. And God told me, he said, I want you to take those areas that have been weak in your life, and I will make those your strongholds. And God said, if you will do that, I will use you to destroy those strongholds off of other people's lives. Now, you see, God was preparing me for spiritual battle. And that anointing that broke the yoke off of me became a yoke-destroying anointing where I push those devils around anytime. Anytime somebody comes up and wants prayer because of the Word of God and how I have strengthened the inner man, the hidden man of the heart, with the word and memorize it, meditate it on. Say, God, what does that mean? How do I win? Give me a word, God. All I need is one word, and your word will bring forth of itself. And God told me, said, I want you to fortify the weak areas of your life with my word. People tell me all the time, they say, oh, you know, I'm bothered with this and this and this. Get the word of God and go back, and God says he'll make it your stronghold. It will not be something that the devil can tempt you with. He will know that you are through with him and that you are suited up. And anytime somebody comes has been under a bondage like you were, you have compassion, you understand it, and you cast that devil out in Jesus' name. Somebody go and praise God for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, you see, the principle that I preached about on spiritual warfare, those principles that I preached, I didn't get those out of a book. I learned those on the battlefield of life. And I learned those principles fighting for my own spiritual edification. Now, I've read some good material, and I've had some great teachers and some great sermons, but mostly I learned it through practical application. And when I would find something good, it wasn't a sermon to me. Let me tell you what it was. It was a word from God to me, and it was helping me to be suited up. The yoke had been broken off of my life, but God says, now I want you to destroy. I'm giving you a yoke-destroying anointing. I want you to break that off of other people's lives. Train them and teach them. That's what God wants us to do, to grow in grace and knowledge. Now, God breaks the yoke, and as we fortify those areas where we have been weak, then God destroys the yoke, and he will give each and every one of us a yoke-destroying anointing. It's because of the principle that's in the Word of God. And the yoke-destroying anointing can only come, catch this, by prayer and fasting. And that's why I teach this. I am more convinced now in my Christian walk, more than ever before, that fasting is the gateway that releases the supernatural anointing of God. See, the choice is ours. We can either walk, open that gateway and walk through it, or we can ignore it and we can keep on doing the routine. I don't want to do the routine. I want the supernatural, miracle-working power of God that destroys the yoke and sets the captive free. I don't want church as usual. I want a yoke-destroying anointing, not only for me, I want it on the people in this church. I want it so that, because I can't pray all the prayers, and God never intended for me or for Pastor Ricky to do it. He says, equip the saints, prepare them for battle. And that's part of my mission, hallelujah, to equip you. And it is my mission as a pastor. Some people ask, what does fasting do? What does fasting do? It's very simple. It brings you closer to God. It produces fresh anointing. It produces fresh fire in your life. Now listen to this carefully. Fasting is a short season that releases long-term blessings into our lives. Some people never fast. That's their choice. They just never will have a yoke-destroying anointing. They may have all types of problems that they deal with, and they're up and down and up and down and in and out all their lives. Because you have to seek God to find him. I read a text somebody put out about, you know, a God chaser. And the man had a negative comment. He's a good man. I got great respect for him. But I haven't written a book as good as The God Chaser yet. Hallelujah. You know, he says that God comes looking at us and God does this and God does that. No, you know, the man that wrote to Tommy Henney, The God Chaser, I believe he wrote it. It's a great book that ever since I got saved, I've been chasing after God. Paul was a God chaser. Paul said, oh, that I may know him in the fellowship of his suffering and the power of his resurrection, being made conformable unto his death, lest by any means I might obtain to the resurrection. See, we do chase him. He said, ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. So the book was a good book, and I wouldn't run the thing down. I would read it and gather the great truth from it and grow spiritually from it. Hallelujah. God used that man greatly. But fasting is a short season that releases long-term blessings into our lives. And it's like taking time to sharpen your axe before you cut down a tree. Now, Pastor Ricky will never forget the sermon I did over at the old campus. I had four axes on my table, and I had a file there to sharpen them, and I was teaching about how we must sharpen the axe, and iron sharpens iron. And I had a little hatchet in my hand that I was, he's sitting on the front row, and I'm sort of swinging that thing like that. And he said he thought it was going to come out of my hand. He said it took some faith to set that. Hallelujah. But he's never forgotten that sermon. I don't think I've preached it since then. I probably ought to preach that sermon again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I want to share a story with you about a young lumberjack. He challenged an old lumberjack to a contest. The younger man, he had rippling, bulging muscles, and he wanted to prove himself. And he believed that he could cut down more trees in a given day than that older man who had been a seasoned lumberjack for years. Well, the contest began early one morning, and the young man began cutting down one tree, another tree, and then another tree. As the day progressed, he was certain that he was winning the contest because the older man, he kept stopping. He kept taking breaks, and this young man's thinking, well, he just doesn't have the strength and the stamina that I have. He's got to stop and rest. But the young man, he just kept swinging that axe, dropping one tree after another. At the end of the day, the young man, he was certain that he had won. He stood confidently waiting for the official count. But to his shock and to his dismay, the older lumberjack had cut down at least a third more trees than he had. The young man was shocked. He couldn't believe it. But he finally, he conceded the victory. And in his frustration, he went to the older lumberjack. He said, I want you to tell me your secret. The older, wiser man replied to him. He said, son, you don't understand this. Every time I sat down to take a break, you thought I was just taking a break, but I was sharpening my axe. And a well-sharpened axe makes for a lot less work and makes trees fall and a lot faster. That's what the fasting edge will do, church. It will put a new edge on our lives, and it will bring fresh anointing into our lives. It's nothing pleasant about a fast. I promise you that. Like I said at Sunday, one man said, why do they call it a fast when it goes so slow? But what it is, we are bringing our body under subjection. And I prepared a handout because fasting is doing without food. That's what it is. It's not doing without water. It's not doing without TV. You're supposed to pray and fast when you fast. And so all that other stuff just falls by the wayside because you're seeking God. Instead of preparing a meal, you can take your Bible out. You can read your Bible. During mealtime, you can read your Bible. But Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary defines fasting as to abstain from food, to eat sparingly, or to abstain from some food. And food and water are two different things. The Bible says when Jesus went into the wilderness experience that he fasted and prayed for 40 days and 40 nights. And the Bible says afterwards he was hungry. He wasn't thirsty. Now, you can go without food a lot longer than 40 days, but you cannot go beyond 3 days without water. You're going to be getting deathly sick. So Jesus, he did fast, and he did drink water. Now, Moses, he was up in God's presence for 40 days and 40 nights, and he neither drank nor ate. But he was supernaturally sustained by the presence of God because this natural body, it must have water. So drink all the water you want. And when I do a complete fast, I just flush my system with water. It flushes the toxins out of your body. It what else it does, not only does it do flush the toxins out, it's a type of Holy Spirit. It's cleansing your system out. And that's another benefit of prayer and fasting. We do have a natural body, and our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so it helps us bring our body under subjection to the Spirit. So fasting, it puts a new edge on our lives, and it brings a fresh anointing. Now, the problem for so many churches today is this. Their acts is dull. Week after week, they stand in their church, they sing their songs, they lift their hands, but there is no edge on their worship. People come in there, they're not even affected. People come here, they tell me, said, I feel the power of God. I have preachers wanting to come here and preach. Can we come and preach? Because it's easy to preach in this church. Why? Because we pray and we fast. We pray every Friday night if we can get here. And then all during the week, you know, everybody prays in their own prayer chamber. Some, I hope they do. And then, you know, at the first of the year, we fast and pray to set the course for the rest of the year. So we understand here at Westmoreland, we are in a spiritual battle, and we need a yoke-breaking and a yoke-destroying anointing. Amen? See, some preachers, they have lost their edge. In their preaching, it becomes dull, and it becomes routine. Some people got great sermon material, but it has no edge. It does not affect people. But when you set a time for prayer and for fasting, you will see greater results. Think about it. A few days out of an entire year to pray and fast, that's not a long time when it produces powerful spiritual results. How about a lost loved one? Have you ever tried praying and fasting for them? Have you ever said, God, I want to see this child saved. I want to see this person delivered more than I want to eat that food right there. I had a conversation with an individual today, and he's been calling me quite a bit lately. And I told him, I said, you know that you need a lifestyle change, don't you? He said, I'm not like you. I don't have faith. That's why I call you. I said, in other words, you're telling me you want me to use my faith for you? He said, that's what I'm saying. I said, well, I preach that. I said, sometimes you meet people that they don't have faith, and you'll just have to have faith for them. I've had people tell me when I would go to pray for somebody who was sick, they said, well, I'm not saved, and I just don't understand that, and I don't live like that. I'm not saved. I said, I am. And on real good talking terms with God, too. See? And they are looking for you to use your faith. How did you get saved? Somebody prayed for you. What were they doing? They were using their faith. Were they praying and fasting? We don't know. They do. That's between them and God. They may never have sat under a corporate anointing where the subject matter is taught. But Jesus said, enter in your prayer closet and fast. And in the Old Testament, they would practice corporate fast, and they would call a solemn assembly, sound the alarm, Isaiah said. Joel said, sanctify fast. In other words, get the people together to prayer and fasting because we need for God to move. And Joel is the one that said in the last days, he prophesied it, God is going to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh, the former rain and the latter rain in the same season. We didn't raise our children to serve the devil. I tell the devil, and I used to tell him before my children got saved, I said, get your hand off of my children. I didn't raise my children to serve you. I raised my children to prophesy. They shall prophesy in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now I'm working on my grandchildren. And I just wish my children could get a hold of a little more of what I'm talking about myself, but they'll have to work that out. I'm glad in the kingdom. But, you know, one of these days, there's a little bright light's going to go on. I hope it doesn't take a lot of problems in life for it. But I came to God in a crisis, and I realized there's one way out of this, son, and you had better seek God. And I sought Him. Guess what? I found Him. Because He said, you shall seek Me and find Me. I had a lot of good people over the years. I don't know how many times Sister Pearl prayed for me down at Sandsburg, that Pentecostal Holiness Church. I don't know, but I know one thing. I know she prayed for me. I know there were a lot of saints way back in my history at Farmington Heights, people in the Word and Faith movement that prayed for me. I'll never forget Eric Van Nelson. I went to his church, and they had this thing where they would take people and pray for them. I've told this story here, and I didn't call his name then, but I just did, so I'll go and tell the story. And they had a prayer line, and they would pray for people, and they had catchers, and everybody would fall out, and they were catching people and laying them down in the floor and cover them up with a little blanket. And I found out, I said, well, that just must be their way of worship. I don't know. I've seen real Pentecostal power where people lay hands on you and boom, it knock you in the floor. Nobody caught them. You know, I grew up in that atmosphere. But so, you know, I'm watching all this stuff and I'm moving down the whole time. And this lady was moving down with me. Finally, I'm at the very end of the line. And the lady is there next to me. Everybody else lying on the floor got up and walked back to their seat after that. And they said, ma'am, do you want prayer? She said, no, I don't. I believe I changed my mind. And she went back to her seat. And I'm standing there. I'm brand new, and I got all these problems in my life, and I need help, God. I mean, I don't care where it comes from. I even went to the Catholic church one night. Hallelujah. If they had revival, I would go. I didn't care. Red, yellow, black, and white. They're precious in His sight. I went to all of them. Hallelujah. But they said, you want prayer that night? And Brother Eric Van Nelson was standing there. I said, yes, I do. I said, I got so many problems. I said, I got all kind of problems. I need God to help me. If y'all would pray for me, I would appreciate it. And they put the catchers behind me. They had a little stuff, and they laid hands on me. I didn't fall in the floor. I didn't feel nothing knocked me in the floor. If the power of God knocked me in the floor, I'd have fallen. But I just thank you for your prayer. And I went back to my seat. And you know something? God answered that prayer. I've never forgotten that. You know, don't criticize what somebody else does. If they're seeking God, if that's how they worship God, hallelujah. Join in with them and worship God in spirit and in truth. Just make sure whatever you do, you worship Him and you turn your faith loose and use whatever God sends to you. If God sends a jackass like He did to the prophet Balaam, amen, then hallelujah. Take what the jackass has got to say. He saved that prophet's life, didn't he? If he sends a rooster to crow, then the rooster helped old brother Peter. He smote his heart and he went out and sent a worm to Jonah. Amen. God can do it any way He wants to. So tell you what God sends. Let me get back on my subject. Fasting gives you the edge, the fasting edge. I want you to look at this portion of Scripture once again, Mark 4:20. This is Jesus talking. He said, if you can understand this parable, these principles, you can understand anything. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, being forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. I believe that when you apply the principles and the disciplines of giving, praying, and fasting, you create an atmosphere for the complete power of God to be released in your life. Now, I want to go to another text that we're very familiar with, and I want to apply this same principle. Because if you can understand the principle of the sower that I just read a portion of, you can understand all parables, and you can understand the word. Look at Matthew 7:7. Jesus said, ask, it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Verse 8, for everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. So following the principle of the 30, 60, and 100-fold return, let's just apply it to these scriptures. Asking brings a 30-fold return. Asking and seeking brings a 60-fold return. Asking, seeking, and knocking brings a 100-fold return. And that's what I want you to see. That there are different dimensions that you can walk in with God. And the more you apply the Word of God to your life, and the more you obey the Word of God. If you would put James 1:22 up, please. James 1:22, if you can find that. This is a scripture that all of us should know, and all of us should apply to our lives. It says, but be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only. Look at that latter part, deceiving your own self. When you hear a word like I'm teaching tonight,
and you don't do it, you are deceiving your own self. Because I am bringing something to you that it, I promise you it will take you many battles and many, many years to get this revelation. So, do you want a close walk with God? I mean, that's the question. See, those old songs are down in me. They say, just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all harm. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, daily walk, close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. I can hear Mother and Daddy singing it. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Hallelujah, let it be. Oh, dear Lord, let it be. Hallelujah, let it be, Lord. I want a closer walk, amen. And you know what? To get that edge, the fasting edge, it brings that closeness to God. There are different dimensions. The prayer, coupled with fasting, brings tremendous results. You know, you should pray and fast about every major decision in your life. Simply putting, fasting is a way to conquer the physical. And when you do that, you draw closer to God. When you deny your body, you are feeding your spirit man. And when you do that, it opens the door to the supernatural power of God. How do you regain your edge if you've lost it? Well, the first thing you do is you must make up your mind that you're going to do it. Too many people, they've lost their edge. They lost it in their home, in their marriage, and in their commitment to the Lord. My question tonight is, have you lost your edge? Those of you watching by live stream, do you have your edge or have you lost your edge? Now, I want to relate a story in 2 Kings chapter 6. The prophet Elisha, he had a group of young men that they were in the school, and they wanted to be mentored by this older prophet Elisha, the one that received the double portion anointing from Elijah. They were called the sons of the prophet, and they had outgrown their living quarters, and so they convinced Elisha that they needed to build a new building so that they could gather there to learn and be taught by this great prophet, Elisha. They headed down to the Jordan River, and the men, they started cutting down the trees, cutting beams for that new building. And as they were cutting down the trees, suddenly one of the young men's axe head, it slipped off the handle, and it splashed in the muddy Jordan River. The axe head sank out of sight, and the young man that stood there, devastated and powerless, he could not do anything to change what had happened. He needed a miracle, a supernatural miracle from God. He was a young man. He wanted to do something for God, but he couldn't even cut down trees and help build his building anymore because he had lost his edge. Do you hear me? Furthermore, he had borrowed that axe, and he was concerned, really concerned, and very anxious because he didn't have the money to replace that axe head. He cried out to the prophet, and because of the anointing and the edge that was on that young prophet's life, he's older now, God made that axe head swim. And when he did, guess what? The younger man got his edge back. What am I saying? Get around some people that know some Bible. Get around some people that have an edge. Get around some people that can help sharpen you up. Hallelujah. Glean some truth from them. Learn the Word of God. And you can get your edge back. Hallelujah. Perhaps
there was a time when you had the edge. Now, I've had to go through all of this stuff. I know. Everybody has to go through it. See, there was a time when your life was consecrated to God and you had a deep passion for spiritual things. But sometimes the cares of this world, just like Jesus said, it causes things to shift. Something changes. And when that happens, people feel like, I don't feel God the way I used to. I don't experience God the way I used to. And they wonder, what is wrong with me? I asked God one day, I said, God, I said, I used to hear from you all the time. You would speak to me right out of this book all the time. I said, why am I not hearing as much as I used to hear? And God spoke to me. He said, because I don't have to correct you as much. I was becoming a doer of the word. And I was concerned on my spiritual walk because I wasn't hearing as much. And God was, he was telling me, you know, how to straighten my own life out. He was destroying, or he was breaking the yoke off of my life so he could put a yoke destroying anointing on my life. And that's what he wants to do for every Christian. He wants us to have that edge. See, what is worse for some people? You know, the enemy, he will tell you that you can't get your edge back. He said you can never reclaim it. I have people that come in here. I used to love God and serve God, and I backslid, and I just can't get back to where I was. Well, God will forgive you. God will forgive anybody. See, the devil is the liar. And I'll tell you something else. It's not over till God says it's over. Hallelujah. You can still make that edge sharp, and God can still cause the iron to float if it's needed to give you the edge. Hallelujah. God will give you back your edge. Now, I'm going to close with this. We're waiting on the Royal Rangers. Do you remember the passion you had when you were first saved? Do you remember what it was like during the first weeks after the Lord lifted the heavy burden of sin off of your life and you felt so clean and new? Do you remember what kind of passion that you had? The passion that you had back then was transferred to your family. You know, passion is transferable. And guess what? A lack of passion is transferable. People around you, they notice the difference. They really do. And if you've lost your edge, and then your lack of compassion and passion, it is transferable. And it will affect family members. It will affect others around you. You got to stay hot. I've got to stay hot. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Hallelujah. That's why we need one another, church. Iron sharpens iron, and everybody needs godly mentors. I need them. I called Paul Jackson today to talk to him. I just needed to hear something from a godly man that I respect. And I call others at times because I respect them. I want to hear something from God. Now, the Apostle Paul, he had something to say about that. Pastor Ricky, if you will come. Look at Galatians 6 and 1. I want you to apply this principle to restoration of people. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of God. Oh, there are people that are counting on us to come to them with power and with anointing, because they slipped away. Verse 3, for if a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Paul said, restore those that have been overtaken in a fault. So as a pastor, I have to constantly ask myself, do you have the edge? Do you have that anointing? And then some people will have to ask themselves, where did I lose my edge? Did I lose it because of the battles of life? Did I lose it because of the disappointments I have suffered as I have fought the battles of life? Then let your disappointments drive you to your knees in a season of prayer and fasting. I've had some disappointments lately, but I promise you one thing.
We're going to fast and we're going to pray. And then I'll ask myself at times, sometimes you have to go back and say, if I don't have my edge, where did I lose my edge? If it was through some sin that a person loses their edge, they need to confess that sin and forsake it. Go back to the place where you lost the edge. Get it under the blood and make sure that everything in your heart is right with God. See, the altar is not just a place to come and be saved. The altar is a place to alter the direction and to get our lives back on the right path. Hallelujah. If you've lost your compassion, if you've lost your edge, be quick to confess it. Pray and find your way back into God's good graces. You can get your edge back. You can recover your passion. You can recapture your dreams. God can restore your joy. God alters our lives at the altar. Let us stand.
Just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Sing it again, Pastor Ricky.
Lord,
help us to get the edge back during this fast. Lord, we want to walk close to You and we can hear every whisper. Hallelujah. We curse COVID-19 and the things that have come against this nation. We lift up the blood-stained banner of Jesus. Let us walk close to You, Lord.
Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
I can hear Mother and Daddy sing this part.
Well, I am weak, but Thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all harm. Well, I'll be satisfied as long.
Hallelujah.
As I walk, let me daily walk close to Thee.